Is this thing on? Am I on? Okay. Turn to y'all. Wait. Children, you're dismissed to Children's Church. Now, our church is actually really branching out. Yesterday we hosted two Emmaus events. First, we had the Emmaus board meeting here yesterday morning at 9 o'clock. People drove as far away as 3 hours away to be here for that Emmaus board meeting. And so I think that's just awesome that we had that board meeting. And Don and Jeannie made some biscuits. And they said that they were they'd take a boat instead of coming here every time they have a board meeting. and then they had lunch. And we had lunch. All the Emmaus ladies came and served all these guys. And it was really awesome. We had the guys here till almost 5 o'clock yesterday training. So I want you to know something. That Emmaus is so powerful. The guys, there's like 25 of us who actually put it on, and we don't take it lightly. Matter of fact, we train 4 weeks for what's going to happen in 3 days. It's just 3 days from Thursday night to Sunday afternoon, and we train 4 weeks, 8 to 10 hours. So that's about 40 hours worth of training, and then we're going to have the 72-hour over at Camp Caroline. So we take it very seriously. Everybody's got it down. We're working it. And we've got our camaraderie, so it's really something special. We've got 5 guys going this time. The next men's walk will probably be in the fall, and I'd really like to get some more guys and ladies. The ladies were supposed to go in the spring, but I'm not sure. It may be moved to the fall also. So if the ladies are moved to the fall, what I'm going to do is, anybody wants to go, let us know, because this is awesome. It's probably going to be, it was a highlight of my Christian life, and also it's been more of a highlight to serve. It's more fun to serve than it was to go. And so this is like, I don't know, my 10th time serving as a spiritual director, and it's really awesome. I love it. So pray for those guys. We're going to go get them. Brother Wayne's going to go pick them up on Thursday afternoon here at the church, and Brother Wayne's going to take them. He's going to deliver them. I'll already be there. I got to be there at 10 o'clock at Camp Caroline in the morning. So that means I'll get there about 12. I got to be there at 10 o'clock. So, but we had spaghetti yesterday, and we got plenty, so there was plenty left over. And so if you want some spaghetti, it was absolutely awesome. Go get some spaghetti over there. It's just for donations only. Come over and afterwards and get you some spaghetti and garlic bread and cake. And that cake was awesome, I'm telling you. You know, Daniel keeps throwing picks at me when we're at practice. He's got a bunch of picks. Of course, as so does the bee, in case he loses a pick, he's got another one, but he uses them as a weapon. And DC has a weapon. I said, Daniel, that pick, I'm so glad it weren't a star. If it was a star, it would have been stuck in my head the other day. Well, look what he's got, ninja stars. And I don't know if it was his suggestion or was it Stephen's suggestion. Stephen's not even here today to take the blame, but I got a horseshoe going to throw at me. I like how Brandon says it. Says when Jimmy gets in the groove, he just don't know what's going on. I just close my eyes. I know it's not always the best thing. When you're trying to be as a team member, you still got to keep your eyes open and see what's going on. And so that's why it's so hard when you're a Christian and God's just moving on you. When you feel His power and anointing, it's just sometimes so hard. Now, again, be praying for these guys. They leave here at 6. When they get there at 10, they'll get there around 8, and they'll get their haircuts. They call them out the bus. Move it, move it, move it. No, it's not going to be like that. It's really actually fun. You've had the ladies go, and the ladies told you how good it was. Now you're going to have guys to tell you how good it was. And it really has done something for me because our church people are going. Last time, my son-in-law went, and some other family, direct family members, but indirect family members, and this time, DC's going to Nick. So I've got a son, a stepson going, plus we got Benny, and we got Steven, and we got Brandon. So it's going to be really, really awesome. I can't wait. And the guys, yes, they were so excited about this walk coming up. We have communion all the time, too. We're always having communion. Matter of fact, we're having communion and foot washing and all kinds of stuff. It's all about servanthood and grace. But there was this one, I heard about this one church that was having communion. And while they were having communion, the preacher, he was in a hurry, so he got somebody to go get the grape juice. And so when he get ready to start serving communion, he notices that it's darker than normal. And he didn't want to say anything because it was darker, so he just said maybe he's got a different kind of grape. And so they start serving as the whole church goes through. It's his turn, and it gets to his mouth, and it's kind of bitter. And he says, this isn't grape juice. He found out it was prune juice. And he said, I reckon we know the Lord's got a sense of humor because he knew we needed loosening up. Let's all stand. Psalm 23. I know we're doing a new song, but I just honestly, I was praying about this thing, and this is something I've been working on for quite some time. How does that projector look? That screen. Yeah, the projector looks real good in the screen. Now, I want you to know, the projector was donated. The screen was donated. So it's not costing the church a dime. We've had people as far as from New Mexico hear about our praise team and started donating money. All the way from New Mexico. Wow. They bought the screen and they bought that. Now you tell me that's not awesome. See, when you step out and start doing it, God always backs it up. Amen. Of course, we had to put it up. I thank Eddie and Brandon and all the guys in D.C. and I'm not sure how many helped put it up. Everybody did? All y'all guys, Daniel, all y'all, the ladies, did y'all help any? I'm not sure. We had everybody up here Friday night. If they weren't putting it up, they were looking at it saying, move it to the left, move it to the right. And then finally the ladies left, and we went ahead and got it put up. Just playing. just playing. I couldn't resist that one. Amen. Psalm 23. What now? I resemble that remark. Psalm 23, we're going to talk about grace. That's actually, in this day we live in, there's a whole lot of talking about grace. It seems to me like over the years since I've been a Christian, it was real strong in Pentecost, and then it went to charismatic, and then went from charismatic to it went to prosperity. And now it's like the grace movement. It's like they keep finding a different way to bring it across. And I'm not saying yay, nay, whatever. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just telling you how it's been working. And you know, if you think about it, that's how it's been working. Pentecost, charismatic, prosperity, and now grace. And I've heard some crazy stuff about grace. I've listened to it intently and on purpose. I've listened to some of the guys preach their message. And some of the stuff they teach and some of the stuff they're telling really, really kind of blows me away. And I say, I sure hope people aren't holding on to some of the stuff they're teaching. It's really out there. So ask God to help me with a message on grace. And as I began to look at it, we don't just need to hear a grace message. You can ride down the road and I turn on the radio and I get hearing about grace. And if I'm not careful, I get hearing stuff. And they've painted such a picture that I get disappointed by the time I get the car stopped because they painted a picture I can't live or it doesn't happen for me, like they say. And so I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? Then I realized God has practical grace. The grace is this. Here's the grace message. The grace message is the cross. It's the cross. Cross plus nothing. The grace message. But then there's practical application. And in practical application, this is where the rubber meets the road. And so because we have to learn where the rubber meets the road, and that's where we actually live, I live where the rubber meets the road. Amen? How about you? I'm not living in a storybook. I'm not living in some kind of fairy tale. I'm not living in something like that. I'm living in a hard world that does not like Christians and is coming after them in any way it can, trying to destroy us or to rip us apart. And I want to have a practical grace that I can have in my life every day to help me make a stand for Jesus and to help me stand up. How about you? Amen? Y'all almost sounded like you believe that. I know you do. Ready? Get Psalm 23. I'm going to read Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I would try to quote it, but I really got burnt one day. And I quit quoting Psalm 23. I was at a funeral years ago, probably 20 years ago. The lady died, had about 10 children. It was such an emotional funeral. Man, it was emotional. And I had read something, and everybody's crying. They had me crying. And we're at the graveside. I'm trying to walk away. And she says, "Hold it, preacher. Can you stop and quote the 23rd Psalm?" That's my mama's favorite. I said, "Let's everybody quote it." And I said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." And then I forgot the rest of it. I said, "Oh no, God, help me do it on the run." So then I said, "Thou preparest the table for me." Five. I did verse 5. Then I did verse 6. Then I did verse 4. Then I went back and did verse 3 again in case I missed something. And Bonner Paul, big old Bonner Paul, he's dead now. He's sitting there with something in his hand, like this. And he's just going. And I'd ridden with him to the graveside. And when I got in his car, I was so disgusted. I sat in the corner and I said, "How could I forget the 23rd Psalm?" And it's the first time I'd ever gone to the graveside without my Bible. Normally I could pull my Bible up, but I didn't have my Bible, didn't have anything. He comes in and has this little card that says all her information about that they pass out to everybody. He said, "They got you, old boy, didn't they?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "You forgot. If you look on the back of this, it says Psalm 23. I said, "Thank you for your help. 10 minutes late, you saw me. You could have told me." He said, "I was having more fun watching you struggle." Okay, so Psalm 23. Let's do it together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I need to ask Daniel, come here. No, you're not doing anything. You get something for me. Let's get ready to pray, but I got to ask Daniel something because I left something in my office. Y'all can't hear this. You heard that? I'm sorry. Father, let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're all-powerful, God. You've got everything under control. Everything is in your hands. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint in a very powerful way, Lord. Make the difference in our lives, God, that only you can do. I know, God, that you're in control. I know, God, that this day is yours. And I know, God, that you've got it all together. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And we thank you for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, sit down. You. Who wants to catch a ninja star? I really was scared of it until I saw the Ninja Turtles on. I'm not so worried about it anymore. Okay, Daniel's not coming in here, so maybe my door's locked. DC, come here, bro. I know this is not my normal. Well, I do. I am kind of absent-minded sometimes. I came in and people started talking to me, and I forgot. This opens my office door, looking at big old box, and there should be 3 signs. I'm gonna go ahead and say it out loud so y'all can hear that. Okay, Psalm 23 in grace. Psalm 23 in grace. We're going to talk about practical grace. We're going to talk about grace that really matters when you're walking in the daytime and you're on your job and you're about to flip out because you've got too much stuff to do. And we're talking about the grace that sustains you when you're in the midnight hour and you've got a fever, your child's got a fever, or somebody's sick and you're not sure how to handle what's going on. We're talking about the kind of grace that when you're trying to figure out how to make all your bills, thank you. When you try to make all your bills and you're trying to make your money last as long as you've got bills, this is what this is all about. I remember one time when I first got married, my wife said, "I don't know why we're having so much trouble." She said, "The bank said we didn't have enough money, but I still had checks, and so I wrote them." Okay. What is grace? What is it? Grace is actually God's gift of love to each of us. It's a gift of love to us through Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, His burial, His resurrection. And guess what? He will give it to us whether we deserve it or not. Now let me just stop for a minute. How many in here can say, I deserved what Jesus did for me? None of us. Grace is given whether we deserve it or not. It's a gift. It's not just a gift. It's a free gift. I always get tore up when I get this thing in the mail. Come over here and we've got a free gift for you. And that free gift winds up costing you paying a payment for 4 years on a condo you didn't want. All because you got a little gas grill that's about this big. You can cook a hamburger on it. Or they got you buying something you don't need because they gave you what they called a free gift. That ain't a free gift. The cross is a free gift. Y'all say no strings attached. Y'all say it again. No strings attached. So practical grace. To me, practical grace. I was reading Psalm 23 one day, and the Lord just made it just as clear, just as perfect in my mind, what practical grace was. Practical grace can be found in Psalm 23. Matter of fact, tomorrow when you're about to feel like your head's about to explode, when you feel like the bottom's about to fall out, when you feel like you can't take it anymore, I want you to pull out Psalm 23 and I want you to read it. I want you to remember this psalm because this is about as practical of a psalm that has grace written all over it. So watch this. If you're taking notes, please take some down because this is going to be awesome. First, if you want this awesome grace, it's free. But at the same time, in order for you to hook up, there's got to be some faith. You've got to know that God wants you to have, and you've got to grab a hold of it. Faith. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. Y'all say that. The Lord is my shepherd. Now turn to somebody and say, he's yours too. He's yours too. Amen? Now when you think about this thing, you say, well, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, that sounds cute. No, let me tell you something. That word Lord is Jehovah, which means self-existent one, the all-powerful one, the one who is power. He's got so much power that he holds the whole universe in his hands, but he also has so much power that he can actually live inside of your heart. That's power. Hold the whole world, yet live in your heart. Wow, that's power. It says, the Lord is our shepherd. I love this word for shepherd here because it's Rohi, Jehovah Rohi. I didn't say Rohi. Some cowboys got happy one day. I went, Jehovah Rohi. They went, Rohi. I said, no, Rohi. That word means companion. Oh, you're going to like this. It means companion, to keep company with, a friend. Woo! Jesus says there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who is he talking about? Himself. Look, the Psalms is talking about Jesus, all right? Look, to keep the sheep to pasture. So the self-existent one, the one that needs absolutely nothing to exist, who needs absolutely nothing to sustain his life, speaks the words and worlds come into existence, speaks the words and angels bow down before him. He wants to be my friend. He wants to be my companion. He wants to walk along life with me and hold my hand and keep me safe during all the storms of life. That's a powerful thought. So now, watch this now. Let's talk about the sheep. You've heard me say this before. God calls us sheep. Did you know that? When he's talking about us collectively, he calls us sheep. It's not because we're cute and cuddly, although some of us are. It's not because we're cute and cuddly. Don't get offended. But did you know that sheep are the dumbest animal on earth? They are the dumbest animal on earth. Look. Let me tell you something about sheep now. You say, wait a minute, God's calling me a dumb animal. No. He's just talking about our life can be like that of a sheep. Watch this. A sheep has to have that constant care and constant guidance. Because watch this. First off, a sheep is short-sighted. He can't see very far in front of him. He can see just a little bit in front of him, and he'll see a little bit of grass, and he'll go there to eat that grass. He don't know if it's good grass, bad grass, whatever. He doesn't see the lion on the other side of that grass because he's short-sighted. Matter of fact, if you were actually to see a sheep that was smart, he'd have glasses on. And they easily stray. They're all the time going all around everywhere. They're senseless to danger. They'll stick their head right in the lion's mouth, the lion jump down, and the sheep won't know what happened. They'll walk into the water and keep on walking until they drown and not even realize it. They're senseless to danger. And the one behind it will follow them. Not look, sheep will run not because there's danger. Sheep will run because another sheep runs. And so if this sheep's walking in the water drowning, the other sheep say, I think that looks cool. Let's do it too. Thus, I hear little sheep mama saying to the other little sheep, little lambs, well, if that sheep walks in the water and gets over his head and drowns, you're going to do it too? If little Jimmy jumps off the cliff, are you going to jump off too? Yes, mama. Yes. Yes. And then when the kids are cutting up, it's usually, and then the mama gets upset and daddy says, what's wrong? I said, the kids are really being really bad today. I went into the detention center and I said, God calls us sheep. And I said, you know why? And I went through that. This was years ago. And I did. And I said, and y'all guys in here, I said, y'all think y'all were bad. I said, y'all might be bad, but you're behind bars. Don't you want to get out of the bars? The guy said, well, I am in the bars because I was in the bar when I got bad. They're senseless to danger. They're susceptible. They're defenseless. They don't have any defense at all. They just sit there and take it. You know, and they're subject to attack. I mean, because other animals know that these sheep aren't really, they know they're not paying attention. They know they don't know what's going on. They just kind of grind going, no, 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 and they get attacked. So that's the life of a sheep. And God tells us in Psalm 23, talks about the shepherd, what the shepherd does for the sheep. And then Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. So that kind of puts us all in the same boat, doesn't it? All of us like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way. We've been led. Look, like I said, Jesus said that he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. He didn't even open his mouth. There was a man going over in Israel, and as he's going through Israel, he happens to be talking to a shepherd and finds out all about the shepherd, the love and the care that the shepherd's got. And as he's going, he sees this man in the back of the sheep. And they're going into this house, and you hear a noise, and then it stops. You read them in the house, and the noise stops. He said, I thought you said that the shepherd led his sheep. He says he did. He says, but he gets in front to lead them, and he calls them by name, and they follow him. He said, yes, that's the truth. He said, well, why is this man in the back, and why is he pushing them? And when they go in, you hear a noise, and they stop. He said, that's not a shepherd. That's a butcher. He says, that's a slaughterhouse. And he's driving the sheep to their death. You see, the shepherd knows that the sheep have purpose. Even though they're short-sighted, they stray, they're senseless to danger, susceptible to attack, or subject to attack, and just susceptible to anything because they're defenseless. The shepherd knows there's two things that sheep is supposed to be able to do. The first thing that sheep is supposed to be doing is representing. He represents the shepherd. You see, good sheep, a good shepherd, his sheep, their wool is clean. A good shepherd, his sheep are well fed. A good shepherd, when he sells his wool, people want it because they know that they're well fed, they're well groomed, that they're put in the water, they're taking baths. He knows that this is good wool and it comes at a high price. When he shears his sheep, it goes for a high price. And so the sheep represent the shepherd. Y'all start putting that in your head and thinking about us. The sheep represent the shepherd. Secondly, though, the sheep are there to reproduce, to make more sheep. So now, think about this thing now. Here's your shepherd. He's out here. He knows that they're to represent. So he's going to take good care of them because they represent him. And he also knows that he's going to help them reproduce, because if he doesn't, there's not going to be any more sheep, and it's going to be a very bad representation. So now, how does he do this? Grace. Grace. Without grace, there is no representing. Without grace, this animal is doing all kinds of crazy mess, walking in the water, walking over and eating the wrong kind of grass, walking in and just eating dirt, running into each other, got nasty wool, that these guys are in trouble, that they're skinny. Without grace, these sheep don't stand much of a chance. You and I today, we represent our Heavenly Father. And we are to reproduce us, other Christians. So now, when you're out talking with people, how do you represent him? Do people see you and they understand, hey, that guy's got something. That's something different about that person. Check them out. There's something there I want. So once you do good representation, you'll find yourself reproducing, because that person will come on in. The Holy Spirit can draw them. If you represent correctly, your life, the Holy Spirit uses to reproduce other Christians. Wow. Didn't know you were that powerful, did you? It's awesome. So now, there's four things that's got to happen. And this is what grace does. There's four things that's got to happen. This is what the shepherd does. Remember, I'm going to take that shepherd, and I'm just going to interact shepherd and grace. There's four things that's got to happen. Number one, four requirements. Number one, they got to be free from hunger. They got to be free from fear. They got to be free from pests or parasites. And they have to be free from friction with others in the little sheep herd. So let's think about this thing now. Here it is. They got to be free from hunger. They got to be well fed. A sheep is one of the scariest animals. Again, he doesn't have to see the danger. All he's got to see is one sheep running. He'll follow. And you'll say, well, what's up? They're afraid. Why? We don't know. They're running. We're running. That's why they have a bell sheep. A bell sheep is one of the sheep that actually has been there long enough to listen to the shepherd. They put a bell around his neck. And so when he goes around, that bell clangs, and as that bell clangs, the other sheep are drawn to that bell. So there is a bell sheep. Let me ask you a question. Can God trust you enough to be a bell sheep? Sometimes you think of my life's clanging. No, you're a bell sheep. And God's using you to draw others to him. Even in your worst of hours, he's drawing, using your experience to draw people to him. So now, pests and parasites, they're all over them. I ran over a bear, or a bear ran into me one day. I'm on Highway 17. This bear runs into me. And so as it runs into me, I get out. It's amazing how nobody stops and helps you when you hit a bear. The rabbi said, "Why'd you hit us?" I said, "A bear." "Goodbye." So this bear is not a big bear. And so I'm going to pick it up, move it on the side of the road, get off the road, because obviously it was dead. And so I'm going to move it off the road, and when I reached down to grab that thing, I said, no, I'm not. Because that thing was like the Hotel California for every road, every pest. You see all the pests just running around inside of it. Stuff was running all over. So I went and got me a pair of gloves out of my trunk, and I grabbed it and made sure it didn't climb up my gloves. And I yanked it to the side of the road and threw my glove away. Sheep cannot reproduced. I don't know if they're afraid, but also if they got these parasites on them, because now they can't think. Or if there's friction amongst them. So the shepherd comes in and grace handles that. So watch this. Grace, as a shepherd, or with grace. We have without grace. Now let's go with grace. The shepherd, David knows about a shepherd because David had been a shepherd. You know, I found out a long time ago, some of the best, you know, Moses had been a king, or been groomed to be a king. And so God for 40 years trained him to be a king. When he went to call his people to deliver his people, he put him in the wilderness for 40 years. and taught him how to be a shepherd. God didn't need a king to lead his people. Jesus is king. He needed a shepherd to lead his people. So Moses got reconditioned. He had the wisdom of a king, but he had the heart of a shepherd. That's what God needs with us. We need wisdom of a king, but the heart of a shepherd. That's Jesus, the wisdom of a king, the heart of a shepherd. So now here he is. He knows firsthand. So watch this. To be a shepherd, it requires love. It requires care. It requires sacrifice. You got to love those sheep. You got to love them. You got to love them enough that you will actually stay out in the field with them and groom them and love them to the point that they know your voice. And the shepherd would actually know all of his sheep by name. They all had a name. And all the sheep would answer by their name. There was a communal thing. If there was bad weather or something going on, they would go into the city, and there was a communal corral. And one guy might have 10 sheep, one guy got 20 sheep, one guy's got 5 sheep. They put them all in that corral. And when it's time to come out, how do you keep up with them? You get a tag like you're checking in your hat? No. When they got ready to get out in the morning, the shepherd would go to the door of the corral and then start calling their names and making these noises and call their name, and his sheep would come out of the corral. Not the other guy's sheep, his sheep. Because there was such a love there for his sheep and for the shepherd. And he cared for them. And there were sacrifices. Because there's many times he could have been home enjoying life at home, but he's on a hill somewhere watching out for his sheep as they graze. And David did this. You know what? David wrote a bunch of psalms while he's sitting in a field while his sheep are grazing. And he looks up into heaven and starts writing psalms unto God. Wow. So you see, Jesus, he is the good shepherd. It says in John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. So Jesus is our shepherd. You know there's grace because of the cross. You know, I like to call it amazing grace. But amazing grace, why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, the powerful one, is my personal. The Lord, power, is my personal shepherd. He protects me. He guides me. He looks out for me. Because he knows that no matter how smart I think I am, Satan is smarter. He knows that no matter what I think I can do, he knows that Satan's got a trap out there for me. And without God's guidance, I can step in that trap. I remember when I was a kid, I saw on TV they were making traps. I said, I can make one of them. And so I went in the backyard, and I was trying to be cool, and I took this big old limb, and I pulled it down, and I took a stick, and I put it in the ground, and I pulled this limb down, and I put it in there, and I had it bent all over. Then I grabbed a noose, and I hooked it to that limb, and I stuck it on the ground. And I said, now I'm going to catch me something when it comes by. But just to make sure it works. I stuck my feet in it. And I cut that little string that was holding it. When I woke up, I was up in the air. My head was on the ground. And I could hear my mama saying, Cricket! And I said, actually, I'm recuperating. I'm regaining consciousness. Amen. Satan's got his traps sprung for you everywhere. So I want you to watch this. Now, we're going to go. This is going to be fast, or kind of fast. Ready? Y'all get ready. Put on your get fast. You know, you just said I could talk fast. Here it goes. First, faith. You got to have faith. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Raha. Here's grace. Watch this. Because the Lord is my shepherd, because he has grace, he has undeserved, unmerited favor on my life, I've got an assurance. And the assurance is I shall not want. What does that mean? Did I get everything I want? No, we'd be spoiled children. What it means is if I got a need in my life, God's going to meet it. Now I don't have to worry about it. Jehovah Jireh. Genesis 22, Jehovah Jireh. When God saw that Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac and he wasn't going to stop on his way down, God stopped him and he found a ram in the thicket. And when he found a ram in the thicket, he said, "Now, seeing that you would not withhold your son, your only son, from me, then I've provided for you." And God sent his son, his only son, in his place. He called the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord sees and the Lord provides. It's a compound word. He sees and he provides. So now, there's a lot of people in this earth that sees, but they don't provide. And some people try to provide, but they didn't see, so they're not even providing the right stuff. If I'm hungry, I don't need a box of crayons. Oh, he's got a need in his life. Good, I'll give him some crayons. Well, that's nice. I'm about to die of hunger. If I'm thirsty, I don't need you to give me a bag of salt. I need water. If I'm hungry, I need food. God sees. Not only does he see, he provides. Then contentment. The Bible says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I can be content. Now, no matter what's coming on, no matter what's happening, I can be content because grace brings contentment in our life. Peace. It says he leads me beside the still water. The sheep will not go in rushing water. They're afraid of rushing water. And so a sheep will actually die of thirst because they won't drink out of the brook because the brook has got rushing water. They will not go. They will actually sit there and they will dry up of thirst and die because they're afraid of rushing waters. You know what shepherd does? He goes in the brook and he takes stones and he goes and he puts stones and makes a little dam. And so when he makes this little dam, or he sometimes makes a little cove where there's no rushing water everywhere else, but there's not rushing water right there. And so he lets his sheep go to the still water. How many could use some still water? I didn't say still as in, you know, like there's a still in the backyard. No. Still water, not rushing. Amen. And so now, so there's peace, and then there's life. Since he restores my soul. There was Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. And then Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healer. He's the healer. He restores my soul. The sheep, if they were in the rain would get on their wool, and their wool would absorb the rain. Or if they walked through a watery place, they would get wet. Or sometimes they would just eat too much, and the sheep would fall over. And when the sheep would fall over, they would actually lay there until they blew up with gas within them and they would die. So the shepherd would come along and he would pick them up and put them back on their feet again. You know what it was called? Restoring their soul. He picked them back up and put them on their feet. How many times has God come by and picked you up and put you on your feet? How many times? Thank God! He's restored my soul more times. And you know what? And not every time I deserved it. My mama used to tell me, "Son, if you dance, you got to pay the fiddler." I'm so glad God don't tell me that all the time. "Yeah, son, if you dance, you got to pay the fiddler." No, I'm on my back. And he goes and he picks me up and he puts me back on my feet. He restores my soul. And then providence. "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy." He would actually lay down. Two ways, two times he would lay down. First, the Bible says in John 10, "I'm the door." Jesus says, "I'm the door. Anybody comes to the sheepfold other than by me, he's a hireling. He's the door of the sheep." The shepherd would go out and build a little mound. When he's out there at nighttime, he'd build a little mound. And this little mound would keep the sheep from going over the mound. And he'd leave a spot big enough for the sheep to go in and out. And then he would lay in front of that. So if the sheep went out, they had to walk over him. He was the door. And if the enemy was to come in, they'd have to go through him to get to them. Wow. Jesus saying, before the enemy can touch you, he's got to go through me. Wow. It's powerful. Powerful stuff. And then favor. He anoints my head with oil. Jehovah, Makedesh, the Lord my sanctifier. You know, parasites would get all over these sheep and they couldn't think. And because they couldn't think and all these parasites were on them, they would just kind of go crazy. And so the shepherd would get oil and he'd pour on their head and he would anoint their head with oil. And the parasites would lose grip and they would just let go. And so now they could think again because favor and grace has shined upon them. Wow, some powerful stuff. Joy says, my cup runneth over. How long has it been since your saucer's been blessed? My granddaddy, I used to watch him. He's been dead now for a long, long time. He died back in the early, middle 80s. But I remember he would go in there and he had this great old big coffee cup about that big around, looked like a bowl. And he bought Sanka, and he put Sanka instant. He'd go boil him a pot of water. He'd pour Sanka in about 5 pounds of salt. I mean sugar, not salt. 5 pounds of sugar and a half a jar of milk. A little can of milk in there, and then he'd make his coffee, and he'd just keep pouring. And he had a bowl that was in there that his big old bowl cup set in, and he just kept pouring. And he poured until it ran over the cup, until it was almost running out the bowl. And he'd go, And I'd go watch him on the porch. He'd sit there, and he'd pull up that coffee cup, and he would just get it out of that bowl. He go, Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since God's blessed you so much that you had to pull the cup up and just grab the bowl? Good, my cup runneth over. Now here's my favorite. I need a couple of volunteers. Which one did I skip there, bro? Hold on, I skipped. Skip the whole page. Thank you. I'm so used to Linda being there. I started to say, thank you, dear, but it's not thank you, dear. Thank you, dude. If I'd have said dear, it's not because we got something going on. It's because I'm thinking about Linda. Thank you, dude. Oh, yeah. We were sitting at a restaurant one day, and we were talking, and Linda called, and I had this thing on, right? And so we're sitting there, and Patrick's sitting in front of me. And all of a sudden, the phone rings, and I go, and it's Linda. I said, and so when she calls, I wait for it I answer it. And then when I hear her say, hello, I go, hello, beautiful. I said, are you having a good day? I wish I could get my hands on you. I just love you so much. And Patrick said, shh, shh, shh. And I said, what's wrong, Patrick? He says, people don't see that. He says, I think you're talking to me. Hello, beautiful. Okay. Leadership. I'm going through it quick. I know, going through it quick. It's only 11:20 yesterday. Leadership. He leads me beside the still waters. Jehovah testimonies my righteousness. Confidence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Courage. I won't have to fear any evil or death. Companionship. Thou art with me. Jehovah Shammah. He's there. Comfort. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Providence. You prepare a table for me in the presence of some enemy. Favor. Joy. Now here it is. I need some guys to come here. Come on, fellas. Come on, I need two guys come here. Three guys, actually. The Bible says that surely goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you know what that word follow means? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word follow means to chase me down. So I'm not after it, it's after me. It's chasing me down. So watch this. Goodness is grace. Surely goodness and mercy. I want y'all to chase me down. Okay, but oh, I forgot one more. Surely. Now, you sit down, Steve. All right. So watch this. You say, well, how in the world? I've not been the best of guys. I've not been the best of guys this week. I've actually, how many in here has done something this week you wish you hadn't done? Okay, but guess what happened? Watch this. Here you are. You're doing something you shouldn't have. And you're going, oh, no, Lord, I don't know what to do. Y'all come on. Y'all got to follow. Y'all got to chase me down. Okay. Well, for most people, okay. I said something I shouldn't have said, and so I wound up over here. But guess what? Even though I've not been so good, guess what's following me? Chasing me down, fellas. A brisk walk. You know what? I said something I shouldn't have, did something I shouldn't have done, gone where I shouldn't have gone. But you know what? I'm sitting here thinking, God, will you even forgive me? I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. What in the world was I thinking? Oh, there it is. But Lord, I really think that I really blew it too bad this time. You'll never forget. Oh, there it is. See, grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. And mercy is withholding what you do deserve. So there's times this week I deserved a good old tail whipping. But instead, God gave me grace. Amen? There's times I don't deserve what God's done for me. I really need God just to go ahead and take me down. He goes, nope, I'm going to lift you up. Because that's going to chase me. No matter where you go or what you do, God's mercy and grace is following. You can sit down, fellas. Go join Shirley. I knew you could handle it, Steve. That's what I thought. And then finally, immortality. I'm closing. Y'all guys come up here and play something. Immortality. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell y'all a story. Some of y'all have already told this before. I don't know if I've ever told it in a sermon or not. I got called one day. Y'all might remember this. Been months ago, well in the last year. I got called in for this young man. He was in his early 20s. He was cutting up with his friends. And while he's cutting up with his friends, he takes a 38 and it's got a clip in it. He takes the 38 and he says, y'all make me so mad I could just do this. And he drops the clip. The magazine, thank you. Okay. Not a newspaper, a magazine. He drops the magazine. And he holds the gun to his head with a 38. And doesn't realize there's still one in the chamber. And he pulls the trigger. The doctor said he would never, ever make it through the night. They don't even know why he's even alive in the emergency room. So they take him. He makes it through the night. And they say, well, it's just too bad. He's going to be a vegetable and he'll go out of here the next day or so. And all of a sudden, he starts moving. And he starts motioning with his hand. And so they give him a pencil. And they give him a piece of paper. This guy was supposed to be brain dead. Or going to be brain dead. And he writes, what happened? He says, my head hurts so bad and my whole body is numb. And he says, please don't let me die. That young man lived for 6 weeks. His stepfather knew what kind of bind he was in. And so he went to him and sat by his bedside every day for 6 weeks. And read him the entire Bible through and again. He also got him, as he could still hear, couldn't talk, but he got him to motion with words as he repeated the sinner's prayer to him. On the last day he lived, his stepfather was holding him by the hand. And he was reading Psalm 23. And after he read Psalm 23, as he got to the end, he said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When he said that, his stepson's hand fell with him. That's grace. Something you wish you hadn't done. Is there anything you wish that you start over again? Have you done things that you wish you could just stop it? There's been times that you did things and you just said, God, if you don't help me, I don't know what in the world we're going to do because I just can't figure this out. When you get in that position, when you feel like you've gone too far, when you feel like you can't stand, when you feel like you've had as far as you can go, it's getting ready to be the end, I just want you to pull your Bible out. And I want you to read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. In here, this one verse, this one chapter, I find faith, assurance, contentment, peace, life, leadership, confidence, courage, companionship, comfort, providence, favor, joy, grace, mercy, undeserved favor, and immortality. That is practical grace. Everybody stand. Right now, you got it in your life. You may not be able to meet that need, and you may have people here that would love to help you, but they can't meet that need. You got people that love you. They can't help meet that need, but God can. Jehovah, the self-existent one, grace and enough to him. I'm not talking about some super duper whopper thing where you never heard again and everything's hunky dory. Nah, that shepherd knows what it's like to fight the wolves and to fight the bears, and the sheep know what it's like to be chased. But the shepherd always comes through. Right now, if you got a need in your life, I'm about to start to make your way up here. I'm going to start making your way up here. You've got to pray for something. There's something in your life that's a need. But there's somebody in your life that has a need and you want to pray for them. All that we, I know it's getting late. Come on. All that we have. Come. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, goodness and mercy will chase me down. I deserve nothing but grace. Gives me everything I need. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Thank you, Father. I don't deserve the cross. I deserve to be on the cross. But you took it for me. Thank you, Father. There's times I roll over and I can't get back up. You restore my soul. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're awesome. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory! Glory to the Lamb of God. Tomorrow, when everything's falling apart, I'm going to read this song. And I'm going to say, God, I know you got this. You got it. Thank you. Thank you, good shepherd. You got it. You're awesome. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Come on, church. Worship Him. Reach your hands forth to these folks that's in the altar, but you worship Him. Worship Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Glory. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Yes, God is awesome. Hallelujah. God is awesome all the time. Now tomorrow, even today, do you know when you went to that altar, grace and mercy followed you. When you got him back to your seat, grace and mercy followed you. When you leave this place, you might as well make room in your car, because grace and mercy are going to be cuddled up beside you. Tomorrow when you go to work, there's grace and mercy. Always remember, God's always doing something for me that I don't deserve, and He's always holding back what I do. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And He says He does it for His name's sake. Jesus is at the side of the Father saying, Lord, bless him. Help him. Minister. God is awesome. Come back tonight. Next week, we're going to be at Emmaus, not all of us, just me and DC.